This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be those of Dr. Goldberg, and he's written a book entitled, Would You Want to Put Your Head in a Microwave? Is that the exact title, Jerry?
Mm-hmm.
All right, fine. Well, now you're a medical doctor. You do practice alternative medicine, and you're concerned about some of the things that are going on in the world, in our society, and I tend to agree with that. So I'm going to let you just sort of pick up the story and tell us why you wrote the book, what your concerns are, why would anybody want to put their head in a microwave, or maybe we're doing it without even realizing it. So you pick up the story.
Well, actually, I wrote the title, just to talk about the title, I wrote the title because what struck me is that you can tell somebody something, and often that's the role of a physician or somebody's advising somebody else, but a lot of people sometimes do their best learning asking themselves questions. So I figured the best way to frame it was to put it as a rhetorical question, so the person would wind up really asking themselves the question. And they would have to be responsive to themselves in terms of examining the information. It's enough to have people to be frightened by physicians and have that form the only basis for their information. Anyway, I trained as an intern as an adult medical specialist, and I gravitated into the nutritional field, and I was a radio talk show host in the New York area for about 5.5 years. And during that time, we did a large number of shows on various topics, including nutrition and alternative medicine and environmental issues. And then gradually, as I was doing research, which is actually one of the nice things about it, is you finally get to look at the literature while I was doing this, working as a radio show host. And I had people come to me, and they were talking about microwave radiation. I didn't have a lot of information at my fingertips, and I started doing research on it. In the process of doing research, I found that one of the things that would be useful is that the scientific literature is very difficult. So what I did was I looked at the fact that microwave radiation basically produces a broad spectrum of injury patterns which bear the same signature. It's much like a burn or some other common illness. It affects all tissues equally. Depending on the tissues or the parts of the body that are affected, you'll have certain illness patterns showing up, which often is what the doctor calls it. And so what I did was I went ahead and then decided to put together basically a primer that describes the fact that we are now in a world where we've transformed the planet into a microwave environment. Which is going up exponentially because that's the predominant mode of transmission of information on the planet. And what are going to be the effects of that? So basically I took Air Force studies looking at the parts of the body that are affected by microwaves and put that in the first chapter. Then in the second chapter I went into the mechanisms talking about how microwave injures the body and then how that has an effect on different parts of it. So there's it shows how it affects the brain, oxidative damage, behavioral changes, neuromuscular changes, how it affects cholesterol, aging, cancer, connective tissue, immune function, and so forth. And then I went in to show how there's how microwave would produce a uniform increase in demand for services and also illness patterns, and how this is reflected in the data.
All right, hold that thought. We'll be right
back.
Our guest is Dr. Jerry Goldberg, and we're talking about would you put your head in a microwave? Well, Jerry, I've shared some of your concerns, but I'll have to admit I haven't done the research on it. The one thing I do know is that at the University of Washington, they've done a series of... Well, we're just getting a massive earthquake right here in California. The whole building just shook. Anyway, certainly, are you there, Dr. Goldberg?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, fine. Well, I'd say that was probably about a, maybe a 6.5 earthquake we just had.
Are you kidding? Really?
No, just drawers popping open, and you know, when you start talking about this thing, you never know what's going to happen. Anyway, under any circumstances, I know that the University of Washington had done some sort of a study on the effect of cell phones, and they had scientists there who had found that cell phone, electronic waves coming from cell phones up against your ear would actually produce DNA damage, and they were frankly threatened and told they would lose a lot of their support for their university if they published the information. To their credit, they did put it out. Nobody heard about it because, of course, the cell phone industry is very, very powerful. And the last thing they would want is for the young people who spend most of their day with a cell phone up against their ear to realize, of course, the potential complication. I don't think it's probably just cell phones. I think it's portable phones. I think it's so many of the things that we're doing are potentially harmful. And so I'm going to let you just pick the story up from there.
Well, again, you've had your experience dealing, from my understand correctly, you had dealt with, you were looking at HIV and AIDS, and you had been dealing with the Congress, and you were proactive as far as that went. Being a physician, and you found that when you got into the political end of it, it's a whole different ball game.
You're absolutely right. There was an organized, orchestrated effort to block the logical efforts to stop the spread of a deadly venereally spread disease, sexually transmitted disease. And hundreds of thousands of people have died in the United States, totally unnecessary, and countless millions throughout the world. So I'm sure that the same forces are at work, but let's go ahead and talk about the microwave and, of course, these waves, which surround us all the time. What impact do they have on things like the heart or on the thyroid?
Well, what they do is that the main effect seems to be on the nervous system. What they do is the microwave, the body uses very fine signals to convey information and to start chemical processes. And what microwave does is it mimics or blocks some of these signals and confuses it. So some of the common findings that they found, especially in the nervous system, that within about 10 to 15 minutes of use, you start using some of the major, what they call antioxidants, in the nervous system and inside the cell, and this seems to be especially...
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Jerry was just saying that certainly when you use the microwaves, it tends to use up antioxidants in the body, and of course, there's all these chemical processes that are taking place, and of course, they do have certainly an electronic component to them, so you picked the story up there. Where do the antioxidants fit into this?
Well, the antioxidants preserve the DNA in the cell and the mitochondria, which are the fuel packets, and what happens is they get depleted. They've done studies that show levels of these major antioxidants can go down within 10 minutes of cell phone use. What that means, however, is that the DNA, which forms the nucleus of, let's say, a nerve cell, will break down within a very short period of time, and this is indicative of transformations that you often see in cancer. There have been studies also showing that white blood cells break down within about 12 to 24 hours, and it's very observable. They did one study in India, and they were looking at this, and they found that they exposed body cells to smoking and some of the other common industrial pollutants and things like that. Microwave in and of itself was the most damaging to the body and was easily observable within 24 hours. So you have basically, if you have a damaged nerve cell, it doesn't function, it doesn't process information, and it doesn't respond, it doesn't transmit. So what are the effects of that? Well, they can be multiple. Your eyes can start failing. In young children, you can't process information. And then the ability to use the frontal lobes of your brain fails, and what happens is you lose the ability to develop judgment, insight, memory fails. You can have a host of things. There's a direct correlation with the rise, for instance, of autism, which has gone up tremendously in the last 10 years. It used to be 1 in 10,000 approximately 15 years ago. Currently, they're saying it's 1 in 150. I wrote a paper, even though there is a link between the food that we eat and also the vaccinations with mercury and aluminum in it, there's also the very direct link showing that there's a correspondence with microwave technologies. I noted that there was almost a 48,000%, 7,000 to 48,000% increase over baseline, which means that already if you're toxic from poor diet and environmental stress and also from vaccinations and so forth, the microwave is going to cause the effect to go up tremendously.
Now, of course, when you're talking about microwave, are you talking primarily about cell phones? Or are you talking about real microwave?
No, the cell phones are the material, but it's what they transmit. It's the signals that they send out, which are really dangerous.
Now, well, what about now, of course, so what's today's broadband? Is you'll go into certain restaurants and they'll, or Starbucks or certain areas, and they'll have this broadband so that you can just hook your computer up automatically, electronically. Is that fit into the same category?
Well, it's the same thing, because the same band, hi-fi, whatever, which is being sent out today, is all using the same signals. So you don't see it, but you have like an electronic smog. And now these things are relayed to mast towers, and they're relayed across the country. So you have this invisible fog, if you will, and it's also transmitted up to the atmosphere. There's a large body of studies. If you look at going to some of the websites in Europe where they put up mast towers, they start getting clusters of people with cancers, chronic diseases, and so forth, people with chronic fatigue, you have immune dysfunction, you have thyroid problems going on, you have autoimmune disorders going on. It will trigger some of the findings classically that you find with MS, with Alzheimer's disease, with a lot of the neurodegenerative diseases that are being talked about and reported. You get premature senescence, it shuts off the hormone functioning, and it's really nefarious, and it produces it depresses the immune function. It favors, already if you're aluminum toxic or heavy metal toxic, it will promote the overgrowth of fungi and mycotic illnesses, often in the gut with malabsorption. So it can masquerade as indigestion, or it can masquerade as Crohn's disease, or just generalized bloating. It will affect the metabolism of the body. It affects blood sugar handling. They did some studies. They showed that you have to exchange calcium to get insulin coming out. If you expose somebody to microwave, it impedes. The calcium doesn't get into the cell. The insulin doesn't come out. Lo and behold, you look like a diabetic. Your blood sugar goes up. It causes uncontrolled blood pressure, and it has very severe effects on the blood vessels. You can reverse that within 15 minutes if you counter it.
How could you reverse that?
Well, one of the ways is to block it. In other words, they have things called, there are filters that they put on. They found that pulse, for instance, in a room, you can get a pulse electromagnetic field, but if you put certain filters into the line, there are sites that you can look up that will shut it off, and your pressure can often normalize within 15 minutes. There was one study that was presented to the World Health Organization, and it clearly demonstrated that they dropped somebody's blood sugar from 190 down to 120 within about 15 to 20 minutes. And there's good evidence indicating why this would happen. So a lot of people are walking around who are obese, tired, have high blood pressure, have all these other so-called common illnesses, may represent a spectrum of exposure to microwave radiation. There's a very good incidence in Sweden, for instance. It's classified as an illness called electrical hypersensitivity syndrome. And they have people out on disability on this. It's well recognized in Europe. And even they have, in the Soviet Union, they have very stringent guidelines restricting the use of microwave frequencies in public places and in workplaces. And it's not really even discussed in this country.
All right, fine. Well, have they done any double-blind studies, or is this mostly simply just based upon people's experience?
Well, it's a lot of things. I mean, they actually have good... the government has actually done a lot of research in this area, and it's been known for the last 50 to 60 years.
And now you're talking about our government? Or?
Our government, yeah. Our government and other governments. There's a lot of research into microwave and its effects. There's a lot of direct evidence. There's a lot of, in other words, you don't necessarily need a double blind. There are individuals, if you take them out of a microwave environment and they get better, indirectly that shows it. So that's one, in other words, if somebody's allergic to something and you remove what the allergen is, and they get better, then that is used in clinical medicine as a proof.
All right. What about cardiac function? Does this in any way influence cardiac function?
Oh, yes, it does. There's a couple of things. One is it will cause increased blood pressure. So what microwave will do is it'll cause spasm in the smaller blood vessels, which will raise the blood pressure. It also has profound effect on the kidney function, and will often, there's a large increase in kidney failure. So that will affect water excretion and will affect the balance of that. So what will happen is it will cause the heart to pump more, and you'll get increased, also it produces damage within the lining of the artery, so you get more advanced atherosclerosis. A secondary consequence of that is you start getting fluid retention, which is called edema in medicine. So you may get swelling in your legs, and you may start filling up with fluid for no good reason, but that indirectly may be triggered by background exposure to microwave or pulsed electrical field. And it's totally missed by physicians, and it's extremely dangerous in a hospital setting because people have pacemakers. It can throw it off. There's another syndrome called slow QT syndrome. It's been shown that microwave radiation will, the cell has to recharge itself. Every time it fires, it has to recharge. And the recharging or resetting is called repolarization. In order to do that, you have to get potassium pumped back into the cell. What happens is microwave impedes potassium, so you get these prolonged phases of slowed down repolarization, which can then lead to arrhythmias or irregular heartbeats, and it can trigger fibrillation and what have you. The other thing it does is it indirectly affects the heart by, for instance, it causes, these are called radiation sickness. It affects the lungs. It clamps down the blood vessels, the blood returning to the left side of the heart, which is the main pumping portion of the heart. And what will happen under those circumstances is that will cause pulmonary hypertension, and at the same time it will cause enlargement. It will cause dilatation or swelling or weakening of the left atrium. And what will and also you can get valvular problems along with that. You'll get mitral regurgitation. You can get tricuspid regurgitation. You can get aortic regurgitation from that. And that's a common syndrome. So you have weakening of the individual. You have increase in blood pressure. You have poor perfusion of tissues because of that also. And also you have poor perfusion with swelling, which produces, it's a grabbing. It's really, it's tragic what it's doing.
But we're not hearing about that here in this country. This receives very, very little attention from the medical profession. I don't think the average doctor has ever heard most of these things.
Well, the average doctor is often on the receiving end. Doctors are very well educated, but tragically, they're very misinformed to a certain extent. I mean, the information they get is controlled, and they're limited in terms of how they can practice and what they can look at, and they're limited by their license and where they practice. So often there's no ongoing discussion, and if the research isn't being done or being funded, because most of the research that they receive is done through private money, which is drug company, it's generated by drug companies, and research through universities, which is often funded indirectly or directly by drug companies and people who have that interest, to avoid the public seeing this data. Otherwise, you would see a much more balanced approach in terms of, let's say, vaccinations and some of the things that are going on, pollutants in the environment. You don't see it because the people who have a vested interest in maintaining the status quo don't promote that type. So you have to have someone. That's why you have individuals coming out, promoting, going through the literature, and promoting these other points of view.
Well, Chris, we're certainly not getting the truth about how they're poisoning our water with the hydrofluorosilicic acid they put in the name of fluoridation, certainly the aspartame, the mercury exposure. There's a lot to be said for what's your position.
Well, it's tragic in the extreme because the public is often put in the position of buying into the notion that the doctor, one, knows everything, He's the authority. Who am I?
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Why, it's been fairly well blocked out in America. We've actually, some years ago, did have somebody else come on and talk about it, and then we could never find anybody else to talk about it, so we sort of, oh, well, there's so many other pressing issues. But I think this is a very important issue. Are there any good organizations in America, any good websites where people can find out about the danger of microwave radiation?
Again, I would type in some of the, so I would get my book. I strongly recommend it. It's a wonderful starting point and a reference to explain the physical effects. It's a primer. It's simple to read. And also I include nutrients that you can take to protect the body, which have been documented, and I have all the documentation and all the research. Some of the sites that I mentioned, if you type in microwave radiation and you go to some of the sources, you could try. There's some good sources. Let me see, microwave victims, for instance, which is in England. If you type that in, they will often include a reference or links to other sites where you can look up some of the stuff and see how active it is. I know there's a there's an active community in California. There's another one in Colorado. They were having a big problem with microwaves over there. There have been up in Canada. They have a fairly active network. It seems like they're much more active in Canada, outside the United States. I mean, there are a few scattered sites in the air. When you get on the net, I mean, a lot of them are in Europe. They're in England. They're in France, and a lot of them are in English. And you can get an oversight in terms of what people are doing. There's a company called BioPro in this country, which sells products and has information on microwave illness. I mean, the spectrum of microwave illness is absolutely incredible, but most people don't realize it. And hopefully, you know, you have to educate yourself and see what's going on. So, you know, those are some sources that you can use.
All right, fine.
To get you started.
For the average individual, you have a cell phone. You certainly want to use cell phones. What about just the standard microwave? You know, if you microwave a cup of coffee, or you know, just use it to microwave to heat a few things up and don't stand right close to it. Is the microwave in your house a danger?
Well, you see, the problem is with human beings is that they see the device. They don't see what the device is emitting. So we're literally like canaries in a coal mine. The problem is that if you shut off your phone, if you're not using it, it doesn't pose a danger. It's the radiation it gives off. The microwave oven, for the most part, it's the radiation it gives off. You don't see that, but that's what causes the damage. The phone by itself is harmless till it's turned on and used. The same thing holds with a microwave. But for the phone to be effective, it has to send a signal, which has to be picked up by a tower, which then has to be transmitted. So how many people, you have 3.2 billion people in this world who are now buying cell phones. It's a huge business. The amount of traffic is enormous. And that doesn't account for military, and that doesn't account for the amount of traffic that's used by businesses. So it's staggering the amount of information that's being put into the atmosphere, literally. In other words, we don't see microwave radiation, but I'll give you an example. Your television wouldn't work if you weren't hooked up to a cable, let's say. But it's the cable that makes it run, or if you have a antenna. The reason you may need an antenna is you got to pick up the signal. It's the signal that produces the damage and allows it to go through the television. It's the same thing with a radio. You know, your radio would be told, the radio by itself doesn't do anything. It's the, frequency that's transmitted that makes all the difference. That's where the money is, and that's where the business is.
All right, fine. So basically, you say that it doesn't matter whether you use your cell phone or not, you're
exactly
going to get a lot of the radiation.
It's radiation. I think if you think of it as radiation, I mean, people don't have a problem with that when they think of nuclear radiation, or if they get people know when they go for a chest x-ray or a CAT scan, or they go for a nuclear scan, it's the radiation. They're already attuned to that, but they don't see the electronic radiation as being a problem. You know, people are already threatened by the notion of radiation, you know, from x-rays and things like that. They know it's the radiation, not the device. They got that. But with microwaves, people are so used to using the device, they don't realize it's the radiation. So it could be computers, it could be electronic devices, whatever you want to call it.
What would be radiation? Is electronic, in other words, if it's electronic, is it microwave, or is it simply a certain frequencies?
Well, no, microwave is a range of frequencies. So but the problem is that the body's already attuned to use frequencies.
Hold that word. We'll be right back here.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Dr. Gerald Goldberg, and we're talking about would you put your head in a microwave? And, of course, his thesis is that we are surrounded by these microwaves all the time. And, well, Chris, Sydney, we live in a smaller community, but they must have microwave towers every short distance for the cell phones. And I suppose they're constantly broadcasting microwave. What about high-tension wires, high-powered electric wires carrying electricity? Does that give off microwave?
It's similar, but it's not quite the same, but nevertheless it has the same effect. The high tension wires produce an change in the electromagnetic field within a certain radius. And, I mean, if you go, let's say, a quarter of a mile away, and there's a very good study showing that children who are exposed to these come down with leukemia and lymphoma. So, you know, there is a direct effect. I mean, it's there. It's not that we don't see it. I'll give you an example. I saw one cute, it was kind of a cute study, but it's nevertheless, they took an egg, a plain old egg, and put it between two microwave phones and left the phones on for an hour. And after an hour, the egg was hard boiled. Now, I don't know. what is it going to take for people to realize they're harming themselves? I mean, do we have to have... It's extremely dangerous to give to children. I mean, it's like giving a child a loaded gun because the incidence of cancers will go up exponentially in these young children. And usually, like any form of radiation, you'll see these changes occur within about 10 to 15 years.
Well, now,
that they begin using them.
How about somebody has a cell phone, but they almost never use it. They use it maybe once or twice a week or maybe once a day for a few minutes. Is that dangerous? Or certainly is it just a matter of degree?
Well, again, I think it's a new technology, and I think it's a question of, you have, with a cell phone, if you use it close by your body, it's going to have an effect. So the less you use it, or if you use it for emergencies, the better off you are. However, there's still background radiation, which we have to deal with, which is going to have an additive effect. And these are factors that people are going to have to live with. And they're going to have profound effects. So it's not to frighten people, but at some point you may get so sick that you're going to be forced to resort to a medical system and won't have any way of figuring out what's going on with you. A lot of the cancers are being driven by microwave radiation. I did one study where I was looking at the rise in prostate illness in Europe against background radiation, and sure enough, up to 99...
Hold on, all right there.
Okay.
Well, Dr. Goldberg was simply saying that he did one study of the relationship between prostate cancer and radiation in Europe. So what did you find?
Well, no, we found that up to 99, the incidence was flat at around 3 to 4% a year. And in three separate regions, it went up over 50 to 60% per year at the same period of time. And so this is very strongly indicative. They found there's a very strong linkage, for instance, in women with breast cancer, some of the thyroid problems that are going on. They found that microwave radiation will decrease fertility and also increase the incidence of reproductive cancers. It also has a very strong tendency to produce lymphomas, leukemias, other related illnesses of the blood. I think it's extremely important for people to realize that, even though they use this technology and they take it for granted, it has very serious ramifications. Believe me, it's very useful, but on the other hand, it does pose a very significant danger to a great number of people. And it has far greater implications than most people realize. But again, we're in a culture where we're being distracted and we're being educated away from what's really going on. And that's being kept from the public. That's being kept out of the public eye. But those are the things that are going to affect us.
All right, fine. Well, first of all, if you have a website, let's get it out, or a telephone number.
I can give you a, they can get my book. It's available through AuthorHouse.com, or it's available through Amazon.com. If somebody wants to email me, I can be reached at glg md32@hotmail.com. I'm also working on a product line, which is basically first aid sprays for pets and animals, small animals. And you can find me at, it's called Pedigreen, Pedigreen, P-E-D-I-G-R-E-E-N, spray.com. You can look up that site, and that's another way you can reach me. Or I can be reached at www.impact2health.com/JGMD. And there's another site. It's called Omega News, OMEGA.news. And if you go to the bar there, type in my name, I have a whole bunch of articles that I've written on this, and it will lead you into other reasons. There's a very active debate going on in other parts of the country, other parts of the world, which just aren't seen here.
All right, fine. Well, now, you mentioned that there are certain supplements that you can take that would be helpful. How would these possibly be able to counter the effect of the microwave?
Well, the thing is, you're producing cell damage, so your body normally has on board or can only produce so many active chemicals, if you will, to replenish or repair damage. The body's not... So if you have an ongoing insult, there are certain things, for instance, that you could take. Zinc is a supplement is found to offset some of these changes that are being produced. Ginkgo is found to be very good in terms of protecting kidneys and brain from ongoing
damage.
Thinking,
Ginkgo biloba or zinc?
Ginkgo biloba and also zinc.
Okay, fine. Ginkgo biloba and zinc. Go ahead.
Yeah, SOD has been found useful. SOD, superoxide dismutase, has been found very useful in that case. Anything with catalase in it protects the mitochondria and is a direct relationship with catalase levels in the body and premature aging. If they go down, your mitochondria don't work. Sorry, that end of story. So, I mean, that's, you know, some basic supplements that you can get over the counter. CoQ10 is good in that setting. Caffeic acid, which is found in bee populace, which is the extract from bee, has been shown to be very protective in some of the studies. Lycopene, which is found in tomatoes, which has been touted for prostate health, is also very good at protecting the cells as far as that goes. So those are a couple of basic things that you can get that would be useful.
Well, how much of a problem is this as far as thyroid? Does this microwave influence the thyroid? Because, you know, it seems like so many people are having thyroid problems today, far more than in years past.
Well, you have yes, it is. It's one, microwave will shut off the pineal gland. The pineal gland, in turn, affects metabolism. The other thing is it cooks the thyroid in a sense. So you see more autoimmune disorders in women. At the same time, the microwave tends to shut off metabolism, so you get into a low thyroid state. At the same time, your hormone levels shut off. The body doesn't like to build in a burning house. So what happens is the thyroid shuts off. In most illness cases, metabolism shuts down when the body's under stress. So you don't utilize your sex hormones because you're not building new tissues. You're trying to protect old ones. Thyroid shuts down in the same manner. And so thyroid is very greatly affected, and often you could be misdiagnosed as having solely a thyroid disorder when, in fact, your whole body can be impacted by this insult. And then the other thing is a microwave makes you more susceptible to premature aging and also secondary infections. So all these things, combined with the fact that it will produce high blood pressure, aggravate existing diabetes and hypothyroidism, can create wreck havoc on people. Some of the restless leg syndrome, some of the common things that are being advertised on the television are probably directly related to the secondary influence of microwave affecting them.
All right.
So a lot of people who have been taken out of environments, they start feeling better. Bingo, that's it.
Well, somebody just called in and asked whether wireless phones should cause ear pain. They started having the problem after getting a wireless telephone.
Yes,
so,
because you're putting it right up to the ear and it's affecting the circulation. And at some point, if you put a hot poker in your ear, you'd feel it, but it would be obvious. With a cell phone, it's not obvious. So some people get throbbing headaches over the front of the brain. Some people feel warmth around the ear. some people have problems, start getting problems with memory, because that affects that part of the brain, and a host of related things. So some people start getting neck pain, or they start having visual problems. There's a lot of problems with the eye in terms of macular degeneration. People start having problems with short-term memory. They start losing a sense of where they are or what they're doing. So, yeah, that would be one finding, sure.
What about a regular telephone? You know, would that be a problem? That's certainly not microwave, is it?
Well, a cordless phone is basically a transmitter.
No, I'm talking about just a regular
telephone.
A regular
phone
with a wire on it.
Essentially the same problem. So if you have at least a corded phone, it's safer for the individual.
As we've had corded phones, it's really only maybe the last 20, 25 years we've gone to somebody wireless, and then really only maybe the last 10, 12 years that we've had the cell phones, which certainly is a major business in America, and you can see why they would want to do everything they could to keep the public from learning of the potential danger and hazard.
Well, the problem you're running into is that it's if you have an influence that's driving illness patterns, it's great for business, but it's not necessarily good for people. And, you know, all you have to do is look at the numbers. So a lot of the upper respiratory tract infections, everybody's running around scared, worried about bird flu and things like that. But I grant you, with microwave as background, you're going to be much more susceptible to flu syndromes and colds and what have you. And this is, you know, it's tragic beyond belief. I mean, the scale of it is mind-boggling. It is absolutely mind-boggling.
Well, somebody just called in and wanted to know about microwave testers. Are they determined if you're getting too much microwave? But I suppose almost any place you live in modern society, you're going to get a tremendous dose of microwave, aren't you?
Well, some people, you'll get a tremendous dose, but, I mean, there are things that people can look at in their own immediate environment. There's companies I mentioned before, BioPro. Somebody looks up their site. They have some individuals who will actually come up, but you have to go on the web and look at it, who can come into, let's say, where your office is or where you work. They can put filters on the devices. They can test to see what pulse fields are in the area that might be affecting you. Now, there are anecdotal reports, and they're only anecdotal, but realize anecdotal reports are double blinds on the same person. In other words, they're not done by universities, but they're double-blind studies. You don't need a double-blind study to see if you're getting better. All right, does that make sense?
Yep. Right.
I think a lot of people have been bought into that crap by the scientific establishment. Somebody gets better, they get better, and you as a physician know that, and you respect that. And unfortunately, the public doesn't understand that. If you get better, the doctor doesn't have to know why. You don't have to go through an exercise of a double-blind. So if you take somebody out of a noxious influence and they get better, then that's a fairly strong indicator that that was making you sick or putting additional stress. Because there's no recognition based on laboratory data or clinical data in this country for the most part where somebody's going to go to their physician and their physician's going to say, I know what you got. It's microwave illness or it's electrical hypersensitivity. It's total nonsense. It's not going to happen.
Well, no, you
have to be proactive and use your own God-given common sense.
If you are fairly close to a major radio AM transmitter, FM transmitter, are you getting considerable microwave from that?
Yeah, because there are relay towers all over. I mean, originally, you're getting background radiation from AM and FM, but microwave has grown exponentially. So the problem is, you know, it's not that frighten people, but they should be aware that, you know, there are other things going on. So, you know, if you're living around it and suddenly you start getting clusters of cancer, or you come down with chronic fatigue, or you start getting unrelenting attacks of illness that doesn't seem to go away, you know, be it upper respiratory tract or abdominal problems, or you suddenly come down with high blood sugar, or you start losing your memory, or your vision starts failing, you know, most people live in a vacuum. They live by themselves. They don't see what's happening in their environment. And the doctors are profiting from this in a very real sense, but the public does not have access to this information, and this is a great tragedy. I mean, you see a large drive now with autism, you know, suddenly there's public awareness of autism. And thank God that, you know, people are finally addressing some of these issues. But again, microwave is another additive insult to the body, which will exacerbate these symptoms. And, you know, look, the American mentality is that everybody wants to be John Wayne and wants to live in their house and feel that they're secure. And unfortunately, security is not awareness. And I think it's very important. People can poo-poo these things and feel that, you know, they're not threatening. But at some point, yes, it poses a very serious danger to health. And it's just not to people, it's to the whole environment. I wrote a paper on how it's affecting how they had a sudden die-off of colony collapse syndrome, which is bees are major pollinators for about 30 to 40% of our agriculture around the world. And the bees are suddenly dying over four continents at the same time, in the same season, with no explanation. What's a common link? You don't have to be a genius to say, well, what would be the common link there? You know, what if you see that microwave is in place, then this becomes a common mechanism for producing illness.
All right, of course, somebody just called in, and they want to know if there are any safe space protectors, shields, or anything else that you can use. Now, of course, I think one of the things is just use your cell phone or your portable phone as little as possible. But what about shields? Is there anything that you could...
Well, the shields can be useful because you're transmitting radiation against the body. So they have, there are some companies that have devices you put on the phone. There are shields that you could put up so it'll offset or minimize it. They have protected headsets that you can use in Europe, and I think in some places in this country they sell linings that you can put up. Some people are using specialized paints to set up almost like a Tesla cage where you block out some of this radiation that's coming in. So it's useful. You know, there are, but you have to go look. It's not, you know, there are sources that you can look. If you type in EMF under Google, or whatever web server you're using, and look for EMF protection, or there are companies out there, and they vary in terms of, you know, their services. Some people sell meters. There's an interesting, in terms of house construction, they found that using, instead of classically concrete, using magnesium oxide, and this is being produced in China, they found that magnesium oxide is a building material in terms, in place of regular sheetrock, tends to block out a lot of this radiation. This is secondary to some of the studies they found from Chernobyl, from the survivors. The people who survived had houses where their walls were made out of magnesium oxide. Interestingly enough, the same walls, magnesium oxide is also present in nuclear reactors, but it's coated with boron. So that tends to absorb and offset some of the radioactive effect.
Now, you cover a lot of these things in your book, if people get the book.
Well, the book is basically a primer. So it helps the person realize that microwave radiation, look, if you go out in the sun, or let's say there's a shockwave, and you get hit by a shockwave, or there's an explosion, it can produce, as a physician, you know, it can produce illness anywhere in the body. It's a concussion wave. The difference with microwave, it goes right through you. So what I did with the book is I tried to put together a primer to show, one, there's literature on this stuff, how it affects different parts of the body, how it works, what areas of the body are sensitive, and then also how there's a rise in the incidence of illness against the rise of microwave radiation. I used cancer statistics from England. In addition, I put in a whole section showing what nutrients you can take to get somebody started so that they're not, you know, it makes it easier for them to organize the material. It could serve as a primer, basically, and then they can take off from there, but at least they can get started. And hopefully with some of the science that I suggested, they can start getting some references in terms of where to look, what to do, and things like that. I mean, some people may not be incapacitated. Some people may start feeling a difference immediately. Then you're running into a problem also in terms of kids in school with the onslaught of cell phones, and then they're putting up Wi-Fi, And this is producing a lot of behavioral disorders in kids, or probably contributing to it, learning disorders and things like that. It's not just the health industry, it's education, it's our children, it's a host of things going on. It's not one single thing. It's a generalized influence in the environment.
Well, I guess for those who do not know, Wi-Fi is sort of the broadband. It's you have a little actually transmitter in your home, so that anywhere in your home, your computer can pick up what's going on without, of course, without access to a landline of any sort. In other words, your home becomes a basically a transmitter. And Sydney, we're just about out of time. Our guest, of course, this evening has been Dr. Jerry Goldberg, and I think we're probably going to get him on again. We're probably going to carry his book. I think this is a very important issue. Now, somebody had called in and wanted to know about microwave oven. What about the changes in food when you use a microwave? Is there any, does the microwave actually alter the food value of food?
Yeah, there's good sites showing that a lot of the bio-nutrients and the life energy in the food will be diminished by using microwaves. So even though you're saving yourself some time and some convenience, it could knock the nutritional value right down. Even though the food calorically is the same, it's not nutritionally the same. I'll give you I saw an interesting thing where they microwave water, and they use microwave water to water plants. And they use regular water to water plants. This one woman did her own experiment herself, and I saw the pictures of it. And the plants that were being watered with regular water flourished. The ones that were given microwave water died. So, you know, it's not something tangible, but if you're not feeling well and you make a change and you start noticing a difference, that's indirectly a proof that you're removing some sort of noxious influence. If you're heavily dependent on a microwave and you stop using it for a short while or don't use it all the time, it's a convenience item. Most of the things that we're talking about have been sold to the public as convenience items, and they're perfectly okay. But again, you know, if you're not feeling well or your food doesn't quite taste the same or whatever, and you just stop using it for, let's say, a week to 2 weeks, and you try something a little bit different, maybe have some fresh food, some organic food, some clean food, just mildly heated, and you start feeling a difference, your body starts picking up, that's a fairly strong indicator.
What about simply television monitors, color monitors? Is there radiation from those?
Yeah, it's very complex because television are basically emitters. Anything that we use, we listen to, be it a radio, television screens are emitted because you're dealing with a photonic screen that's sending out a wave. And you say they've measured some of these things, and they do have an effect. So people who sit in front of computers will be affected by them. And there are some people who sell devices that will decrease the radiation from that. But more specifically, a lot of the electrical, in other words, what they call a pulsed electrical field, electricity, sometimes, you know, where circuit breakers, or you have these, you know, to protect electrical devices.
Right.
The reason they're there is if you get a certain surge in the current, it will automatically protect your television or whatever you have from shorting out. But by the same token, that surge is still going through the wire.
Hey, we're out of time. God bless. Thanks very much, Gerald.
Dr. Sands, thank you, and hopefully we can go into this again.
I hope we can. In fact, as you know, we do actually 5 hours of talk radio a day, and we have 4 different networks, so I will be contacting you. It's been a fascinating hour, and thank you so very much for being with us.
Take a look at the book, and I think it would be, tell your readers they can get it at walterhouse.com or amazon.com.
Well, I think we're going to
get started, please.
Okay, we will. We'll do everything we can to help you get it out. We'll talk to people at Author House as soon as in a day or so. Thanks very much, Jerry.
Take care, Dr.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank
okay.
you very much.
Oh, okay, if you're out there in the listening audience, ladies and gentlemen, you'd like to get a copy of our interview, and remember, we do talk during the breaks as well, why either the tape or the CD is available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Now, we will actually be carrying the book I haven't had a chance to look into it. I wanted to talk to Dr. Goldberg before I committed to carrying the book, but we've been concerned about this for a long period of time. I think that your logic would tell you that, you know, these waves cannot be good for you. We know they can have a physiological effect on people. I think that story about the microwave water, fascinating information. Are we perhaps setting our whole society up for chronic illness? I believe not only we can, I believe we are. I believe there are people who know what we're doing. I believe that there are people who really want to markedly limit the population of the world. How are they going to protect themselves? I don't know. Maybe they're not going to. Maybe they have such an intense hatred of humanity that they're going to let this all happen. But let me tell you, we do know, and of course we have the article out of the University of Washington where they had found out that the use of cell phones produced DNA damage, and they were actually threatened. The university was threatened and told not to publish those articles. Somebody knows, somebody's covering it up, which of course takes us to the whole subject of population control. Now, before I do that, if you'd like to get either the tape of today's program or, of course, the book, you give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. We'll have to get back with you when we have more information, but we will be sure that the book will be available. And then, of course, if you have not yet seen my talk on Nundare College Genocide, it's a DVD. It's an excellent talk. Another a more advanced talk is Planned Population Reduction. There is a video on population control, a four-tape set on population control, and the monograph I've written, which is up on the Internet and free of charge, if you want to get it that way, at RadioLiberty.com. It's called the Population Control Agenda Monograph. Are there really people out there who would like to do harm to humanity? And the answer is absolutely. In fact, it was Jacques Cousteau who talked about the necessity of eliminating 350,000 people a day. And you say, what sort of human being would even consider that? And I would say somebody who is inherently evil, who had no human compassion. But there have been many, many people who've advocated mass population reduction. And as we pointed out, it is in the process of being carried out today, and that the AIDS epidemic is not simply a disease caused by one HIV virus, or actually eight different types of HIV. And not only that, but there is a concomitant infection with it, in most cases, a mycoplasma incognitus that has been patented by the Air Force Institute, or one of the military services. Why would they patent the mycoplasm that we see in AIDS? Well, very, very simply. AIDS is a wonderful means of population control, and people cannot believe that. And so today in Botswana, and we get the figures from your Census Bureau, which is going down to Africa to see what a great job we're doing there in Botswana, 46% of the pregnant women are HIV infected, and they're all going to die. How could you do such a poor job on intentionally a public health? No, it's not that they've done a poor job. They've done an excellent job of genocide. If you'd like the verification of what I've said, give us a call. We'll send you the material. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, understand that behind this are powerful, truly demonic forces. Pray for America. Pray for revival, and please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. And we're going to be back here in just a moment for the next hour, right here at Radio Liberty. this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for this next hour, they're going to be the views of Melody Cederstrom. Hi, Melody. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Stan. I'm just great. Thank you very much.
Well, these are certainly exciting times for those people in the gold and silver business, aren't they?
Yes, it is. And I always say it's sort of the double-edged sword because as we get excited about the prices of gold rising, it just means that the fundamentals behind gold are becoming stronger and stronger. And, you know, a lot of that, those fundamentals will not fare well for the general populace and for their ability to continue their lifestyles that they become accustomed to. So a lot of people will be hurt. And but for those who have been able to buy gold and silver and have been able to hedge themselves against the inflation that we see and buy gold and silver to preserve their wealth, I guess it is an exciting time at the same time.
Well, of course, the question is, you know, is the price of gold really going up? Is the value of the dollar going down? Certainly, as we see, everybody says, oh, look, the loonie, the Canadian dollar, it's going up in value. And I say, no, it's the dollar is going down in value.
Okay.
And, of course, people really don't understand. They're not able to see how this whole scenario fits together. I think that down the line, I think that probably gold will, of course, get to where it really should be. But right now, don't you think a lot of what we're seeing in the way of the gold price is a reflection of the rising price of oil and the falling value of the dollar?
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. We have seen the U.S. dollar fall, and we broke 77. The last time I looked, it was currently around 76, 77 on the U.S. dollar index. And so we had a little bit of a pullback in gold today, but I don't believe there's any such thing as a straight line going up, and it will have its little pullbacks, but everybody is waiting breathlessly for the Fed to report tomorrow whether they're going to drop the rate a half or a quarter point or if they're going to hold. And it doesn't really matter what they do tomorrow, and basically it's meaningless if you look at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is we have a country and a financial system that will have to do some purging in order to, you know, for any of the problems to be fixed in this country. So the bigger picture is gold will continue to rise, just as you said, and certainly the dollar will continue to lose value. And all the currencies around the world, they're all fiat, and over the past 2.5 years, we have seen gold rise over those currencies. So gold is still, you know, if people are looking for safety, people are looking for quality, and they want to sit on the sidelines until things do purge and things correct and problems become fixed, gold is a great place to have in your portfolio.
And, of course, the real tragedy is that we're looking really at the demise of the American currency.
Yeah.
In fact, the demise, I believe, of most of the currencies in the world. Certainly, I mean, China, Russia, so many of the countries are just frantically inflating their economies. Of course, the prototype is Zimbabwe, in a country where the United States State Department brought that government to power, and it's estimated now that inflation is somewhere between 2,700 and 3,000% a year. And I mean, people can't understand that massive inflation is just simply destroying the value of everything. But this is what happens when you have irresponsible monetary people in power, and this is just what we have here. Well, Melody, of course, the whole talk today is, will the Fed raise the discount rate? Will they not raise the discount rate? And my gut feeling is that, you know, what they should have done was raise the discount rate about 10 years ago and purge the system. I'm not sure that simply something as simple as raising the interest rates, as Paul Volcker did back in 1979 and 18, would really solve our problems today. I wonder if we've gone past the point of no return for the American dollar.
Well, I'm not sure what the point of no return would be, but I think we have. And you're right, the problems from Volcker are so much more severe today. And no one really knows, there is no value on so many of these derivatives, these investments. You're looking in the derivative markets of $450 to $500 trillion in the derivative markets that, I mean, no one knows. I mean, no one, there's no value on these funds. And so I think when it begins to tumble in these rates, they will have to eventually raise rates. And but I think what they do tomorrow is really basically meaningless. I guess the markets have taken into consideration that he will be dropping at least a quarter point. I don't know why they would have to. They could leave it the same. They have the stock market up. They don't seem to care about the dollar, but they have mentioned a couple days in a row Paulson has about a strong dollar policy. So I guess they could afford to leave it flat tomorrow and let the market fall a couple hundred points and see what happens. But the Wall Street is certainly crying for that quarter point and half point. So it's an interesting time of the year because we're going into the holiday season, and certainly that is the busiest time of the year for most businesses in this country, as most of them turn their profit during this season. And so it's important to them. But I think the consumer is tapped out. I don't think what they do, the consumer will not be in there having a heyday of a Christmas. I mean, it's working families are getting squeezed more and more with these higher food bills. You're going to have higher power bills, higher heating bills, higher gasoline bills. They've already given up one thing in order to obtain the other. There's been a report about these convenience stores, you know, like your, you know, I don't know, Turkey Hills and 7-Elevens and Circle K's, all those convenience stores that charge, you know, 50% more than what you could find in the grocery store. But those grocery sales have stopped because, you know, once you go to a grocery store, most people just can't walk out with bread, butter, and milk. You know, they end up spending more than what they go for.
Hold on, Doc. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course the question is the inflation under control? If you watch television, you'll see these pundits, these nicely dressed men with a suit and a tie and a colored shirt on in television saying, well, now that inflation's pretty well under control. I got a note from a friend of mine today, one of our very good supporters, and he was commenting that certainly, when he went away on vacation a few months ago, apples were 50 cents a pound. Now they're $2 to $3 a pound. Now, I don't know whether that's accurate or not, but this is a very astute individual. But I do know that the price of so many food products is simply going up. Food and certainly, as you pointed out, gasoline, oil is going up. We find out that college tuition is going up about 10% a year. We find out that rents here in California are going up 8 to 10% a year, and yet the government insists that inflation is under control. And I would like to suggest that they're simply lying. They do not want to tell the American people the truth, and the old adage that figures don't lie, but liars can sure figure, I think is what's going on today, because as the dollar continues dropping, more and more countries are going to turn away from the dollar as the reserve currency of the world. Now, this is what happened to the British following the, believe, what was that? Well, really, it would be following the First World War when the dollar began to come into prominence, and certainly after the Second World War, the dollar, replaced sterling as the reserve currency of the world. But what happens when we lose our reserve status? And I don't believe that countries are going to continue taking the dollar. We hear rumors, of course, that at least out of Venezuela, that OPEC is planning on considering changing over entirely to the euro, or at least partly to the euro, for purchase of their oil, euro of OPEC oil. And if that should happen, this would have a profound impact because all these trillions of dollars that other countries are holding, you know, in the reserves would come flooding into America. Wouldn't that be highly inflationary right here at home?
Yes, they would be. We've been shipping out. We've been exporting our inflation for so many years, and absolutely it would be. And
I'm really afraid that this is what's going to happen probably within another year or two. The dollar will no longer be the reserve currency of the world, and whether it'll be replaced by another basket of currencies or by the Chinese currency or the ruble or the euro, I'm not certain.
Well, you know, if you look at the basket of currencies, if it is replaced, I mean, they're all fiat currencies. So, you know, they won't be fixing anything. They won't be solving anything by, replacing the dollar with another basket of currency. So I believe somewhere along the line, particularly with so many of these countries that really do know the value of gold, only your European nations, you know, the people there, they they're not big buyers of gold, but certainly those that are the bigger producers and manufacturers now in this world, they certainly do. So, you know, I do believe there will be a tie to gold, you know, when the dollar eventually becomes replaced. I don't know what part, I don't know how much or how it will be done, but I do believe gold will play a significant part in that.
In fact, I suggest that everybody read Alan Greenspan's essay he wrote back in 1966 called Gold and Economic Freedom. You can Google that in on the Internet, Gold and Economic Freedom. In fact, that will be a large part of next month's newsletter. And to understand that Alan Greenspan understands you cannot have a free economy unless you have a gold backing for your currency. And, of course, then we have to ask if he believes that. Why, of course, has he downgraded gold for years? Why did he set off a stock market bubble, followed by a housing bubble that threatens the very foundation of our economic system? If he really believes in what he wrote in 1996, and I believe he does, because just a few years ago he told Congressman Ron Paul, when Ron Paul was asked him if he was ready to repudiate his 1966 essay, and I checked this story personally with Ron Paul's press secretary, who said that, according to Ron Paul, Alan Greenspan looked at the congressman and said, "I recently reread that article, and I would not change one word of it." I think that's a very, very revealing statement. "I recently reread that article. I would not change one word of it." And here's the man who has engineered the collapse of the American dollar. And we have to ask why. Did he do it inadvertently, or did he know exactly what he was doing, realizing, of course, the only way to save America and to return to a free enterprise system was to destroy the monetary system, impoverish our people, but perhaps, just perhaps, be able to preserve some element of freedom in America? Well, our telephone number, certainly if anybody's out there has a question for Melody, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Melody, since the run-up in gold and silver recently, have you been getting a lot more calls?
It has been. It's more than business than usual, and we've actually seen this pattern since really the 1st of August. I mean, we've always had the gold bugs, and we'd have the short run-ups in gold that would create interest and so forth. But as the magic month was, the 1st of August, when we had the major decline in the stock market for 1,000 points and the dollar drastically falling, because there's a lot of people out there who've been listening to your programs and so many programs over the years, and they were able to control for so long. They were able to keep things rolling along, and I believe come August, they lost that control, and many people sense this, and many people realize that the stock market, their funds, their mutual funds, the cash they're holding in money markets, it's certainly not safe, and it's better to protect it with something that will work opposite of the dollar, and so they've been putting it into gold. And something interesting, too, is I had more than just a few customers who decided to bank wire their funds. It's amazing how difficult it is for them to do so. And they eventually get it done, but the same comments repeated are, it's like they don't want me to have my money. And most of them will almost say the same thing to their brokers, whether it be with Merrill Lynch, whether it be with I can't remember the other one, Goldman Sachs, and they make the comment, well, it is my money and I want it. And it's like they're dragging their feet. And it's just an interesting, you know, does it mean anything? Yeah, maybe, maybe not. But it's interesting to see how these large brokers have controlled people's monies for so many years. They don't, you know, they make people really fight for it. They certainly don't want to lose their accounts.
Well, of course, we see that Merrill Lynch has recently lost some $8 billion simply on their collateralized debt obligations, and Bear Stearns had lost $4 or $5 billion. A lot of our major corporations are losing, you know, fabulous amounts of money, and they suddenly realize they have these bonds that really aren't worth anything. And of course, that means they have to write them off. It means they're able to lend less money. And what my understanding is that a lot of the banks are becoming increasingly fearful to lend to other banks. They just don't trust them anymore, and vice versa. And so unless you've got a very, very good credit rating, it becomes increasingly difficult to borrow large sums of money for new ventures. And some of the money that's been going into new businesses, certainly speculative businesses, is getting increasingly hard to get. Have you heard about this at all?
Yes, I have. We've talked about it. I've talked, you know, with Bob Chapman about how difficult it is for, businesses to get loans and banks to get loans. They don't want to, they don't trust one another. So really lowering the point tomorrow, even a half a point, lowering interest rates really doesn't mean anything, because nobody's loaning anyway.
But of course, the thing is, if they lower the interest rate, mm-hmm. what they're saying, in effect, to the rest of the world is, we're abandoning the dollar. We're not going to try to get a stable dollar.
Nope.
We're just going to get it, let it go, and we'll do anything we have to keep the economy going. But that is, of course, what always happens with a fiat money system. We have irresponsible people in positions of power, and to keep the economy going, why, of course, they just keep printing more and more and more money, because as they do this, while the amount of money in circulation and the credit becomes more available. The purpose that has been said of a central banker is to take away the punch bowl when the party just begins getting interesting. In other words, stop the party from carrying on when it gets too everything begins to prosper, because you're going to run into inflation. You cannot have a fiat money system and have simply rampant increase in the money supply. And that's the purpose of the central banker, and they've totally abandoned their responsibility. They were created to give us a stable currency. They've enriched themselves. They've not given us a stable currency. And now, apparently, they're going to allow that currency to be destroyed, and with that, the savings of almost everybody in our country, except those, of course, who listen to you and me and Bob Chapman and a handful of others, were trying to sound the alarm. Get out while you still can, because tomorrow could be too late.
Yeah, with them lowering the interest rate, it's not going to, I mean, they're doing it to save the economy, but the economy's already lost. To me, it's just a psychological move. It keeps people comfortable. They think that they're saving the economy, and, you know, they can go on all these, you know, 24/7 financial news programs and cheerlead all day long to keep all the markets pumped up, mainly so they can continue to make money. But the economy's done. You know, it's lost, and the American people are the losers.
And, of course, what's really so interesting is that apparently a lot of the large department store stocks are falling. We're talking about, of course, Sears and Macy's and Target and the others, because, of course, people are not investing and not buying as much as they have in the past. And, of course, that is a suggestion of a beginning of the retrenchment of our economy. When certainly the large department store sales go down, then sales from other countries in the United States, since we're the major consumer, going to begin to fall. And we could be on the edge of a contraction of the entire world economy. We're going to be back here. Welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY-464-8295. Well, Melody, what are you hearing about, of course, about the cutting back in sales, you know, for people? Are they buying as much as they used to, do you think?
I think they're looking for, you know, lower prices, and, you know, I do believe they're cutting back. The jobs aren't there. People are going from, you know, well-paying jobs to low-paying jobs. Someone just called me today, one of my clients from Indiana. He lives close to Indianapolis, and there was some sort of an engineering company that employed some top engineers, and I don't know, I guess they had 25 top engineers, and they got called in today, and they canned them all. They want some engineers from India. They're bringing in their own engineers from India, and these were all American, well-paid, high-paying engineers. And he says they didn't lay them off. They basically canned them because they gave them all a gold watch. He says, but they made some big monies. It was a very prominent firm in Indiana. And so these high-paying jobs, these well-paying jobs, these are still leaving. And so I do believe people are cutting back. They have to cut back. And they certainly can't use their home anymore as the convenient ATM that it has been all these years. They're getting low wages. You know, at least one family member is losing a job, and they can't replace it. You have these companies just like here in Pennsylvania up in Potter County where you had Adelphia, where you had the father and the two sons who basically absconded with funds from the company. Two of them are in jail now, but the people that they've hurt, I mean, they hurt a tremendous amount of people in that area where people have lost their homes because they lost these jobs. And up in that area, it's not populated, so you don't have a lot of businesses. I mean, they had to move down to Philadelphia and Harrisburg and other larger cities. And, again, they lost the good quality of life that they went to, they lived for many, many years. So, and it's just frustrating because of you have these people who go to prison and they get a few years and that's all it is, but yet people's lives are destroyed just because of their greed and, their power. And it's frustrating, but it not only happens in Potter County, Pennsylvania, but it happens in places all around the country, and it's just disturbing. It's very disturbing.
Well, one of the more interesting things is here in California, because California is a very, very prosperous state, and it seems like we've never had any real economic problems here. We're the sixth or seventh largest economy in the entire world. China may have come in and moved us from sixth to seventh, but if California were a country, we would be certainly the seventh largest producer in the entire world. Well, recently the state, I forget the Secretary of State or what he is, his name is Bill Lockyer. But Bill Lockyer had suggested that maybe we should just privatize our University of California a system. In other words, we have a vast system of state colleges and state universities and really certainly one of the more outstanding educational institutions in the entire country with multiple campuses. And, of course, the people who work for the state in the educational industry, have pretty got it good. They've got great salaries, they've got great pensions, they've got great health care. But recently, Bill Lockyer had suggested we simply privatize our universities and stop funding them. We'll be right back. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and certainly our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Certainly one of the best jobs you can have right today is working for government, because you've got great pensions, you've got great salaries, you've got the great health care. In fact, you get far better salary and health care and pension and benefits and time off than you're going to get working for any industry today. Because industries, have to make a profit. Government never has to make a profit. But the problem is, of course, as the economy begins to contract, then the state income begins to decrease as their taxation and income from taxation decreases. And here in California, we were simply pointing out that Bill Lockyer, and I'm not sure whether he's the Secretary of State or what his official position is, he's an old hack here, but he has recently suggested that if we are going, of course, to try to balance the state budget, because next budget year they know that the amount of money coming into the state of California is going to be down tremendously. And, of course, Bill Lockyer is suggesting that maybe they should privatize our university system, which would mean, of course, that the university would have to raise its money from the student tuition and from gifts from industries and perhaps selling services to industries. But the state really doesn't have the vast sums of money that are needed, the billions of dollars, to continue funding our state university system. Well, you can imagine, of course, the horror on the part of the teachers and the administrators there at the university, but they've been living it off. I mean, they've been making fabulous salaries. I mean, the chancellor at UCSC, here where I am, she was making almost $200,000 a year, and then she had her lesbian lover get a similar job with almost that amount of money, and she was redecorating the facilities where she lived for a couple of $150,000 or more. It's all of money. Why should she worry about it? It's not her money. It was state money. And suddenly that money's drying up, and I think you're going to see this all across the country, as more and more of our states are going to, and municipalities are going to have difficulty of paying salaries. They're not going to have the money to do it. And they're not going to have the money to pay the pension funds that they've promised and the health care that they promised for retired people. And I think increasingly, as the economy begins to collapse, even government employees are going to feel the brunt of what's going on. Well, let's go to Mike, who's calling. Mike, did you have a question or comment?
Well, both. I thought maybe those engineers might have to move to India.
Right.
But I want to ask about silver. What your guest might know, regarding the British, and anything they might be doing to manipulate things. And the reason I'm asking is because, in Kosovo, when the dust settled, I believe it was, the British or some faction thereof that ended up with control of the silver resources in that region, which is one of the things I believe that whole fiasco was all about.
Good, very well. Well, let's get to Melody's response. Melody, did you know anything at all about silver and about the Kosovo and the manipulation of the silver market? And maybe that was the reason we really went to war there. Maybe we really weren't concerned about the suffering. And what are your thoughts?
Well, I believe we go to war for many of the minerals and the of these different countries and the certainly the commodities that they have, again, like we've seen in Iraq and so many other places that we go into. And, you know, if they have something valuable, we certainly want to go in and take it over. And that's a possibility, but I believe, if I remember correctly, they also had other minerals that were important too, other than just silver, and I can't recall at this moment. But
there was a lot of talk about they needed an outlet for one of their oil lines. Mm-hmm. These are all conjectures.
Yes, all connected.
They never tell us exactly what they're doing. But anybody has any question what wars are really fought about? Let me suggest the book "Confessions of an Economic Hitman" by John Perkins. We carry the book and have a 4-tape set, "Confessions of an Economic Hitman." And then, of course, the second book that John Perkins wrote, "The Secret History of the American Empire," with a comparable tape set. Understand that, ladies and gentlemen, the wars are fought for far different reasons, and the young men were sent overseas to suffer and bleed and die and be maimed will ever know. Anything else, Mike?
Enough for now. Thanks a lot.
All right. God bless.
Thank you,
Mike. Thanks so much for calling. Our guest, of course, is Melody Cedarstrom, who is in the gold and silver business, and Melody supports Radio Liberty, and certainly we support her. We think she does a great job and get a lot of very, very favorable information from our listeners who contacted her. Oh, under any circumstances, we're going to be back in just a moment. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. And it's important that people understand that we're moving into a period of economic crisis, and I really believe that people who make preparations now will survive. Most people will not. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom, and we've certainly been talking here about what's going on in California, because they have already anticipated that they're not going to have the money next year in the state coffers to pay for all the things that the legislature has voted for. What do you do? Well, of course, you can raise the taxes, but then everybody gets mad at you, and the cafe's property taxes force it in California. And then, of course, they can borrow more money, and that's what they've done. But they borrowed $40 billion last year, and they're going to borrow another $40 billion this year. And then you're going to borrow more money on top of that. And I don't think they're going to be able to get away with that, because nobody's going to want their bonds, because if you're beginning to look at California, they don't have the income to support a lot of these bonds. So I think that California is going to be in trouble, the state of California. And I think this is going to hit many municipalities and other states. Have you heard any of the rumors about that sort of thing, Melody?
I know a lot of these governmentals across the country, state, local, are having difficulties, and a lot of them are raising their property taxes. And I was curious to ask you, Dr. Stan, about San Diego and the fire down there, if you had heard anything about to the degree of impact on the economy.
Well, I don't know. I think that probably in some ways it'll be good for the economy. It'll help the building economy,
right?
Because they lost several thousand houses, and they're going to have to be rebuilt. And they're not building the houses as, you know, as they have in the past, because nobody's buying it. But for the people who, you know, who had their homes destroyed and then, you know, have a money coming from their fire insurance, I think that this may very well have at least a temporary stimulating effect on the building industry in Southern California, and they certainly are going to need that to get them through.
Well, I was curious about the businesses.
I really don't know. I don't know whether this hit many businesses. I think it was mostly homes that were built, but I'm not an expert on that at all. Maybe somebody's in San Diego, Southern California, could call us and tell us. Certainly, I know a lot of the people are going back to their homes, and even if the homes were not built, pardon me, we're not burned, why, there's no electricity, there's no telephone, there's no nothing. I mean, they can get into their homes are still there, but all these services have been simply destroyed by the ravages of the fire. And ladies and gentlemen, do not believe it was all the arsonists, it was all the drought, and all the heat, and it was all the winds. A lot of it was the fact that the government has blocked the efforts to keep those forests clean so they wouldn't burn. We've actually promoted, done everything we could to encourage the burning, not only there but throughout the state. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question for Melody, if you're interested in the subject of the finances, what's going on. But before we go on, Melody, would you get your telephone number and your website out? And
yes.
What can people hope to get if they get in touch with you?
All right. The phone number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And the website, it's still a long one. I haven't shortened it yet. It's Discount Gold and SilverTrading.net, and you do have to spell out the AND, Discount Gold and SilverTrading.net. And if you have any questions, you can always email us. It's a little bit shorter, DiscountGoldAndSilver@Yahoo.com. DiscountGoldAndSilver@Yahoo.com. And we take a different approach to gold and silver when customers call us. We try to find out a little bit of information about what gold they already hold, what their investment objectives are, what their future plans are in investing in gold and silver, because we don't sell one coin to fit everybody, and because I do believe it's a suitability factor to some degree, and I do believe there's some coins that are better than others. If you're already holding coins in your portfolio, perhaps there's other items that you can purchase that would enhance what you're already holding. I have clients who are 100% invested in foreign gold. Well, to me, that's not the best case scenario for a gold and silver portfolio. So we can help tweak it for you. I'm not an advocate of trading coins just to trade, but sometimes it's worth it if you purchase them at a lot lower price and you can get a better coin at a good price. So we always try to look to see what coins perhaps have not taken off as rapidly as some other ones. We always look for good buys. Sometimes my wholesalers will have some good buys on coins and in which we can pass on the savings to the clients. So we believe that customers should be diversified, that they should carry 80% gold and 20% silver. And, of course, that can fluctuate depending on the individual's investment objectives. And it can be 70-30 or even 50-50. But as a rule of thumb and a good way to be balanced, you want the majority of your funds in gold because gold will provide you stability. We're going through a time where it's very, where things fluctuate. We have silver, and I hear all the arguments and the information on silver to the degree of shortages in inventory. But we also have an industry metal. That industry will be slowing. So, you know, that provides a little more instability, a little more volatility to silver. And, of course, gold is the monetary metal. And that's why you want to carry 80% gold and 20% silver. So you should keep those numbers in mind when you're building your portfolio. So that's what we help customers with. We don't sell, you know, oh, you need this because this is the best performing coin that, you know, from day one of the gold. And
all right, how do you
don't
feel,
do
how,
that.
How do you feel about collector's items? I had a friend of mine call me the other day and tell me he just bought this wonderful gold coin for $1,500. It was a collector's coin, and of course I asked him where he had gotten it, and he told me the name of the people, and I know it very well. My dealing with those people has been very, very unfortunate. They're real crooks. But anyway, I mean, how would the average individual know anything about the value of a collector's coin, and should they people be going into collector's coins if they don't know anything about collector's coins?
Well, in defense of collector coins, they've been given a bad rap. And you're right. People have been buying the wrong coins at the wrong price from the wrong people and at the wrong time. So it's not the coins that are bad. It's the dealers that are bad that misrepresent the coins and charge these high prices. I hear it every day. There's people that call me where they purchase coins, and my prices are $300, $400, $500, sometimes even $1,000 less than a coin. Do people realize how far gold has to rise in order to make a profit? But it all comes back to the suitability of the person buying the coin. So if all he had was $1,500, certainly no, that was certainly not the right item for him to purchase. So that's why we find out about people. We find out, you know, what they're holding, and is the coin suitable for them? And there's a people group, all coins together. And we sell rare coins to collectors only. But our percentages of collectors is probably 2% of all the business that we write. Most people are looking to buy something that will preserve their wealth. We need to build a foundation. You need to be diversified. You do need to have some bullion gold in your portfolio. You can go into the semi-numismatic coins. You can diversify and you can speculate a little bit. But again, that comes back to the suitability of the client, and that is really important. But when you pay my prices, I mean, it's worth so many people just plan for the very end. You know, they spend thousands and thousands of dollars on buying fractional pieces for the very end of bartering. Well, I think bartering material is very important, but you shouldn't have a portfolio based solely on that objective. And so people have lost a lot over the years because there's been a lot of misrepresentation out there on the various coins and what they do for a portfolio.
Well, now, when you talk about coins for bartering, what are you really talking about? You're talking about small denominations?
Smaller fractional pieces in which you can buy silver, and you can get some smaller gold pieces. You can buy some 1/10 ounce gold. But you have to remember the smaller the size of the gold coin, the more you're going to pay. So you get more gold by buying a 1 ounce gold coin than buying a fractional piece. You know, a half ounce is going to cost you less than a quarter ounce and so forth. So you certainly don't want to spend thousands of dollars buying all 1/10-ounce gold ingots. To have them as a part of your portfolio, yes, it's important. But yet there's other items in which you can purchase, and that goes into the diversification. And again, it comes back to the suitability of each client. And that's why it's so important. And as far as I know, no one really cares about the suitability of the coin to the clients. They just want to sell the coin to the person. And I had a new customer the other day tell me, he says, you're the only one that I've ever talked to that cared about what I bought instead of just selling the coin.
But how can the average individual who is not a professional as far as coins, is not a coin collector, how does he know whether that coin is worth what he's being told? He calls the fellow tells him, this is a great coin, it's a collector's coin, it'll probably go up 10 times in value when the price of gold goes up, you better buy them quick, they're going. How does he know whether he's being told the truth or not?
Just that alone, what you just said, to tell people enough that they should at least call around and check around, and they should call me. And because, I mean, I'll compare prices and I can tell them the truth about the different coins. It's all basics, and you have to stick with the basics and what really makes sense. What's logical? I mean, if you're looking to spend a certain $5,000 and someone's trying to sell you $1,500 coins, well, you're really not getting as much gold as possible for your dollar. And naturally, the more you invest, and if you're investing a quarter of $1 million, certainly you have more funds in order to diversify. So, you know, you have to look at what really makes sense. And you know what, Dr. Stan, most of the people who buy these coins that they shouldn't have bought will tell me, you know, I knew I shouldn't have. So at least go with your instincts. And they're high-pressured salespeople. They will, and if they call you on a daily basis, my question is, why are they calling you? You know, I've always told my clients, if they're calling you to make a sale, that means they're not busy enough. And so there's signs. You just have to go with your instincts. And so I tell my clients it's like buying a refrigerator. You know, you got three groups. You have the least expensive, you have the middle of the road, and you have the most expensive. Most people will buy their refrigerators that are in the middle of the road. You know, that will give you the best value, that will give you the best return, and so that's where you want a lot of your gold price. You know, if you have, you know, $250,000 or more, then you can get a little bit of each, or, you know, just get the bullion coins, which would fall in the less amount, and then the middle would be the semi-numismatics, and the high end would be the rare coins. And that I don't recommend. I don't recommend rare coins.
All right, fine. But what about, brilliant uncirculated, things like that?
Brilliant uncirculated, it comes back to why you're buying the coins. I have people who tell me they want to buy 90% silver for bartering, for spending. And that's okay. So why would you need an uncirculated coin? You really don't. You buy something that's circulated. You want the most cost-effective price possible. You want to get as much silver as possible. So again, you know, it's, you don't need to have that. Why pay more for it when you're losing the number of ounces? See, my whole theory is you want to buy as much gold as possible. You can go into better coins, but you need to still keep it with the thought of getting as much gold as possible for your money. When you go into the gold coins, the $20 gold pieces, my wholesale prices on circulated $20 gold pieces are the same as gold eagles. So they have very little value. They're melt value coins. So people pay a premium on the front end, and they lose it all on the back end. And all they get is they basically get below spot for them. So to me, that's not a good value yet. You know, maybe in the future, if there's a $300-$500 spread between a circulated coin and between a circulated and an uncirculated, and you're not going to lose it on the back end, well, that's okay. You know, and your fractional pieces are good for circulated coins. You know, so again, that's what we do. We really educate, and my customers know what they're buying. And nothing frightens me more when I get calls from people and they say, I don't have a clue what I'm doing. And the first thing I say, well, thank goodness you called me.
Well, I simply suggest people never, never just simply, if somebody calls you, you better just check around and be absolutely certain, because there is a tremendous amount of interest. In fact, I've had a number of calls recently from people. In fact, some fellow even called the other day, wanted to advertise for this, and I said, really, I'm really sorry, we're just not taking on anybody additional that is selling gold and silver. And, of course, I should have added, and, of course, I don't know anything about you, and I wouldn't put you on anyway, no matter what you gave me, unless I knew you were legitimate. But I have no desire to, simply put a lot of people on to sell these products, especially if you do not know their reputation. And the only thing you really have in this business, really, is your reputation. Wouldn't that be true, Melody, that reputation is so important because there's so many crooks in the business?
Well, you know, that's true, Dr. Stan. But you look at some of these big gold houses. You look at some of the ones that charge 50% commission, and that's how they can get on all these radio programs nationally and so forth. And people think because they're big, they have a good reputation. So size isn't important, you know. It doesn't matter how big they are. You know, they can still steal your money and charge you and sell you the wrong coins. So it's very difficult, and people do need to base it on their instincts, because I hear that so often from anybody who paid too much. I hear them say, well, you know, I thought I was being taken. Well, if you think that, then you probably were, and you can say no to these people. And so, you know, reputation, and a lot of people, you know, these large houses, you know, they base their customers on a one-time sale, because they know people eventually find out that they were taken. And we do it the old-fashioned way. We want to build relationships with our customers, because one of these days my customers are going to sell their coins, and I want to be their dealer for them to sell it. So they need to trust me, I need to trust them, and you build a working relationship with the company. So you know you're getting a good product, you know you're getting a good price, and we trust each other, and that's what it's all about. My customers come back.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We are entering a period of chaos and crisis in the monetary system. Gold actually hit $790 this week for a short period of time. They hammered it down. I don't know where it was. What about 783, 786 somewhere today?
Yes, it was. The actual New York spot price was 785.
And of course, silver was well up over 14, 14, mm-hmm. 15, somewhere in there.
It closed around 1430.
Oh, 1430. Well, it was higher than I remember then. All right, fine. Well, of course, that this is all an indication of a very, very troubled world monetary system. And they want to tell you everything's in good shape, inflation's under control, trust the government. And Henry Paulson, who's the Secretary of Treasury, keeps talking about the importance of a strong dollar, while, of course, the value of the dollar keeps falling. And according to Melody, it was down below 77 today. Where did it end, do you think?
The last time I checked, I didn't see where it was trading in the aftermarkets, but it was, my last report was 76, about 76.70.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a dramatic fall. You have to understand it was 120 a couple of years ago, and now it's down to 76. It's lost not quite half of its value in comparison with other currencies over the last several years. And of course, the euro, which was 80 to the basket of currencies, is now around 140. It's almost doubled its value. The average American is incapable of believing and understanding what's going on, because he believes our currency is stable. And the trouble is, it is not stable. We have a fiat monetary system, and there's no incidence in all history where a fiat monetary system has survived. Our guest has been Melody Cedars from Melody. I want you to get your webpage. I want you to get your telephone number out one more time for our listeners.
The telephone number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. 1-800-375-4188. And the website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Discountgoldandsilvertrading.net.
All right, fine. My suggestion is if you're out there in the listening audience and you don't even know what we're talking about, you better start reading and studying about finances. Because most people in times like this get wiped out. The prototype is what's happening in Zimbabwe, where the United States State Department installed the Marxist dictator. And there today, why, of course, the pension, which the older people get, will buy about three or four slices of bread, that's all. And, of course, the value of the currency there is completely crumbled. We actually got an email from South Africa today talking about the terrible tragedy in Rhodesia. No electricity, nothing on the shelves, people are starving. The end result of an inflationary spiral. Well, Melody, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. What would you like to leave with our listeners?
This whole scenario, everything, I do believe it was planned. It was part of an agenda. And I do believe all the rules and regulations were always written for them. And people do need to take control. They need to protect what they have. And if they have any questions, they can always call me. And I certainly will do the best that I can to help them. And it won't be easy out there. And certainly, even as we talk about higher prices, storage foods and water, those prices are rising also. So if you haven't purchased any storable foods and water, make sure you do that, because as I said, prices are continuing to rise. Never allow anyone to hold your gold. Don't allow any gold dealer to hold your gold. I don't care how big they are, how whatever they give you, the letters, the certificates or whatever, always take possession of your gold if possible. And you don't need to wait 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks for your gold. There's no reason you can't have your gold in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. We try to get most of our products all shipped within 10 working days of your original order date. So we have a fast turnaround time. And certainly there's always the case where, there might be a delay in product or something. But for the most part, it's a very quick turnaround time. So these things are important, and the dollar's losing value. And people say to me, well, gold's going to pull back. You can't track gold on a day-to-day basis. We look at it. That's what the prices are based on, the coins are based on. But you truly do have to look long-term. And none of the problems that this country faces are being talked about, so certainly they're not being fixed. And until these items are fixed, talked about, or we see some sort of a purging of the systems, to me it's just best to be safe. There's nothing wrong with being on the sidelines. Because you can always get back into the market when other investments come along further down the road. So.
All right. Well, our guest has been Melody Cederstrom. And, of course, I appreciate so much you being with us, Melody. We'll talk to you again, I guess, next month here.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. God bless.
And you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, that was Melody Cederstrom, and we always enjoy having Melody on. We are entering some very, very difficult times. Radio Liberty has a webpage on Amazon. What do you think our most popular book is today? We sell it all throughout the world, several copies every day. The Creature from Jekyll Island, the story of the Federal Reserve conspiracy. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest has been Melody Cederstrom, and this is the time when I need to remind all of our listeners, that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you believe, as I do, that we are involved in a spiritual battle being fought on the political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, if you'd like to become part of our team, trying to let people understand that there really are spiritual forces out there that are directing the course of world events, then we hope many of you will give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. I was just saying during the break that Radio Liberty has an Amazon page, and we offer books pretty from our catalog. But what do you think the most popular book today is? We're selling several copies a day. We had two cases of the book in, and those two cases are gone, and we're going to have to get more. It's Ed Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. It is the best single book, and it's selling all throughout the world to people who want to understand what is happening economically. So let me suggest, if you have not read Ed Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, give us a call at 1-888-544-8927. And then, of course, we carry Professor Sutton's excellent book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, because it is a conspiracy. It was designed to enrich the central bankers of England and the United States, and they've done very well. Their job was to maintain the stability of our currency, and it's already lost probably somewhere between 96 and probably 97 to 98% of the value of the currency in 1913. The bankers have done very well with the system, but of course the people have not. Oh, we seem to feel that we're prospering, but when the whole system collapsed, most of our people will simply become indentured servants. Serfs in what was once their own land. So understand the system was designed to fail. It is failing. And of course, the people of great wealth are going to get wealthier, and most people are going to get poor. You need to understand the Federal Reserve Conspiracy, the book written by Professor Sutton, a good friend of ours before he passed away. And the third book I encourage people to get is Fiat Money, Inflation in France. It's a little book. Just tells you what happened in France back in 1789, when they established a fiat money system after the French Revolution. My talk on the history of money is a great introduction. It's a compilation of about four of our newsletters. And then my talk on the financial tsunami. It's available on DVD or on video, and there's a syllabus that goes with it. We suggest you get both. And it's important then that you begin to think as the financiers think, and understand the carry trade and what derivatives are, and certainly why oil influences what's going on in America, and what's going to happen as the baby boomers retire, and how all of the parts of this perfect financial storm are coming together at this time in history. So if you'd like to get the talk, and I think it's excellent, it's a DVD or video, and the syllabus that goes with that, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. The pamphlet, of course, is the history of money, what you should know. And ladies and gentlemen, you should know and you should understand what is going on if you hope to survive financially what's coming ahead. Now, let me, of course, say that we advocate everybody lay in a supply of food and the water and get your water filters. And if you need more information on that, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. But also understand this is a spiritual battle. And the most important thing you can have is a personal relationship with our Lord. So we hope many of you will, of course, give serious consideration, if you're not already a believer, begin to explore the claims of the Bible. If you are, I do hope that the knowledge you obtain through Radio Liberty will draw you closer to our Lord. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.